Good morning, everyone. You know, I'm thinking of this morning as playtime, as time that you have built up a momentum in the practice, even though you might not feel it. But this morning felt so quiet here in the hall, didn't it? You've all built some sense of gatheredness. And now we're going to have a period this morning where we're going to sit, walk. And you can really bring a spirit of play and exploration to this. Bring the momentum of your practice into this. It's not often that we have a day and a half of gatheredness and then have a chance to explore what we can do with it. And the practice doesn't have to be grim and serious. It can be fun and playful. And so, you know, I kind of been feeling the spirit of Calvin. And, you know, Calvin loves a good explorer. And that's how we are exploring our own mind and heart, the territory of our own mind and heart. And so this morning, I'm going to lead a not very wordy meditation, guided meditation, but I'll lead a meditation introducing more of an open awareness kind of meditation. Very often on a retreat, we'll begin with a more close-in meditation, breath, body, as a way of giving the attention a place to anchor and a place to stabilize. And then we can experiment, play with opening it up so that we can bring our mindfulness, our presence to everything. So that's what I'll lead this morning, a little bit more opening. And one of the things about this more open meditation is that when we open, we can just bring, as best we can, our curious, non-judgmental attention, or curious, kind attention to everything. Body, breath, sounds, emotions, thoughts. Kind of like we're resting on the side of a lake and we're watching, being with the ripples on the lake and the call of the loon, the ripple of the breeze on our face, the birch trees, whatever calls our attention. We can bring this same energy into our open awareness meditation. Oh, the breath rising, sound, a thought, sound, breath, quiet, noticing quiet, shoulders dropping, belly moving. Do you see what? Do you have a sense of this? I'm just resting on the side, resting by the lake, watching what's happening in the inner landscape and the outer landscape with a kind of relaxedness, more of an open awareness, thoughts, sounds, body sensations moving through. So that's what we'll practice this morning. And one of the interesting things about this more open awareness is that in contrast to the beginning instructions, where we often begin, when a thought comes along in the beginning of the practice, thought comes along and we notice, oh, thinking, and then we come back to the anchor, back to the body and the breath. And this helps to stabilize the attention. In a more open awareness, we can take a little time to rein the thought, to explore the thought, R-A-I-N, to explore that thought before coming back to the anchor. Or we might not even come back to an anchor in open awareness. The next thing might be, oh, sound. Oh, bottom of the feet. So whatever calls the attention next might be next. But we can take some time, if there's a thought, we can take some time to explore it before moving back to an anchor. So for example, if you have a planning thought, you can take a little moment. Oh, planning. Planning that event. It might be a pleasant event that you're planning in the mind. And so we can take a moment to explore what's happening here. Why is the mind bringing this to me? Why is this puppy bringing this thought? Here's this thought. It might be that the mind starts to plan, but it might be because that event in the future is pleasant and the mind wants to experience that pleasantness of anticipating that event. It wants a little sukha. Sukha, wonderful word, meaning a little sweetness. So the mind, the puppy mind, might be racing off, oh yeah, that's sweet, let's bring it back. And so we can explore that thought. And if it's a pleasant thought, then we can use our abiding practice. Oh, what's pleasant about this? Well, how does it feel in the body, in the mind, and the heart to be anticipating this event? Then we're with the event in the present moment. Often we think in meditation we should be in the present. Well, we should be. One of our aims is to be in the present moment. But that doesn't mean we can't think into the future or remember into the past and still be here. Say a memory comes up, a memory of something. You can explore that memory a little bit. Oh, if it's a pleasant memory, what's that like in the body, mind, and the heart? We can be in that pleasant memory in this present moment. And then something else will come along and you'll move away from that. So we can begin to use our exploration, our RAIN practice, to explore wholesome states of mind, nurturing states of mind, and abide there. And they might come through future thoughts or memories. Does that make sense? Any questions about that? So Doris is saying, well, it sounds good, but it'd be really easy for the mind to just start planning rather than look underneath. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the pattern of mind, the default pattern of mind, which usually happens. And we've been in the toaster for a day and a half. So we've got some settledness now. And now it might be a little bit easier to look in this new way at the thought and have a little gravity in the attention so that we can notice the pull to planning and then redirect with our intentional thought to, oh, let's bring this into the present in the body. See what I mean? Yeah. That's a wonderful question. And we use directed thought. We're using directed thought to shift out of the usual pattern of thinking into a new pattern, new way of experiencing that. And it's because we've been practicing for this time that we now have the capacity and possibly the gatheredness to try it. And that's how we use our clear, we often hear this phrase, this saying, where we want to develop clear seeing and wisdom. And for many years I thought, what does that mean, really? This is it. Clear seeing and then the wisdom about working with the patterns to really abandon the ones that aren't helpful and cultivate some that are going to be supportive. not in a forcing way, but in this exploration, clear seeing kind of way. Thank you for that question. Any other questions? So maybe in the exploration this morning, and you can bring a sense of play and curiosity, maybe you'll have an unpleasant experience. Maybe an unpleasant memory will arise. Maybe an unpleasant anticipation. And so I'm just going to bring in some of the approaches we've talked about, and then you can play with these too. Oh, what might be the wise response now? How can I explore with these tools now? So if there's an unpleasant event, we've been cultivating the body and the heart. And so unpleasant event, as Doris was just saying, the default of our mind might be to start thinking about it and have a story about it, and this is hopeless, and it'll never get fixed, and I'll never find the answer. So now we've got a little bit of gravity, we've got a little bit of gatheredness, we can notice the story, and we may have a bit more capacity, a bit more gravity, kind of, I'm saying that gravitational pull, to help the mind notice that story and then come into the body instead. What's happening in the body? We can say, what's this unpleasant thought feel like in the body? We can do it that way, and there might be some agitation in the belly. There might be a constriction in the heart. And then we're in this present moment with this unpleasant event, not in the story. And we're helping to train the mind differently, responding to unpleasant events. What makes unpleasant events really super unpleasant is the story we tell ourselves about it. That's the part that can spiral us into this stress and more reactivity. So when we can notice a story come into the body, even in an unpleasant event, in the midst of it, the body is our ally. It's here in the present moment, it's not in the story. So there's one thing we can try. We can bring in kindness. So I love the practice we did Friday night, which is kindness in the midst. So right here in the midst of this, may I bring a little bit of ease, may a little bit of ease rise. Right here in the midst of this, may there be kindness. We can bring that in. You can notice I'm doing this. It's just so automatic when there is a difficult experience now for me to touch the heart. And so you can bring physical gesture in, touch the heart or anywhere in the body. I tell this story a lot, but I was working with a grade elementary school in Fort Capel, teaching this practice, and I asked this grade four student, how do you offer yourself a kind touch? And he said, well, if I'm in class, I put my hands on my desk so nobody can see I'm patting my stomach. I know. So nobody needs to know we're doing it. It doesn't need to be, you know, just a little touch. Very supportive. Or we can bring in compassion practice. And we've done some compassion practice last night, the meditation on approaching unpleasant events. We approach it with a very big connection to our own heart. How is this affecting the heart? Is there a withdrawing away from the unpleasant experience? Is there a moving towards it? Can we tune into the pleasantness of the simple the simple feeling of care? And so that experiment we did last night in that meditation, bringing an unpleasant experience of another and ourselves, you can just experiment with that. How close can I be with this now? Do I need some more distance? So you can experiment with that. And then you might say, no, I need some more. I need something else. This is enough now. So then how do we turn to nourishment? And that's a very important skill. It's not how do I stay with this unpleasant thing more? It's that wisdom in that moment. Where do I turn? How do I turn for nourishment? I want to offer also a different way of understanding compassion. And that is a way that I think of it a lot. People will know this. Some people will have heard this from me many times. But I like the muck, what I call the muck practice, M-U-K. And this is, for me, the anatomy of compassion. We often think compassion is this mysterious thing. What is it? But really, it's muck. It's a combination of mindfulness, understanding that this is, I'm not alone, and K, kindness. So mindfulness, we just say, our mindfulness, we can bring that in to say, this is difficult right now. This is tough right now. This is suffering right now. This is struggle, whatever it is, to just lightly name it. Then the you, understanding that this is universal, we're not alone. There are other people experiencing this right now. And what that can do is help us to realize it's part of the human condition, it's not our fault. And then the K, kindness. So it's like, just how can I be kind right now to myself? May I be kind to myself right now? Whatever that means, it might just mean in all the various ways we've been talking about kindness. So the muck practice can be a way of cultivating, bringing in compassion. We've also talked this weekend about impermanence. We can remind ourselves this is impermanent, and then we can watch this, and this is a way to come out of the story again, but we can watch, set our radar out for, when is this difficult experience going to wane? And not with a grasping, not with a but watch gently, set the radar out gently for when it's going to wane. Sometimes I can feel it as if I'm coming out of anesthetic, as if I've been in an operation and I'm coming out of anesthetic. Sometimes I have difficult experiences where I kind of feel frozen inside, kind of numb inside. And that then when the feeling starts to come back into my heart and the feeling starts to come back, it's kind of like coming out of anesthetic. So, and I've come to be able to recognize when I'm starting to come out of anesthetic, the numbness is starting to wear off, and to notice that is really a good thing. We notice it, and then the system gets to know, oh, this isn't permanent. These states aren't permanent. And so that's my clue. So you'll have your own clue, your own way that you might notice states passing. We want to set our radar out for the passing of the difficult state as much as for when it's here. Because as we know, our brains are Velcro for the difficult. So we're going to let that difficult fill the screen. And then we're going to be a little more Teflon, naturally, for the passing of it. So we want to just bring a little more Velcro in for the passing of it. And then the walking meditation, of course, we've practiced that. The body moving through space kind of meditation, it seems to be helpful for people. You can go at whatever pace is helpful for you. We'll settle into some practice. Any other questions before we do that? I would just let go of trying hard on that one. I find it really difficult to catch thoughts before they rise too. And I think it's fine to catch a thought wherever you catch it. I find it easier to watch for the waning because the thought's here and then I got a clue. And then it's easier to watch for it. So I wouldn't try hard. at some point that might come naturally. But anytime I wouldn't recommend trying hard on anything. Let go of the trying hard. Let go of the anything, any of these things that feel like you're trying hard, let them go. Any that feel easy and like you're curious about them, go for those. I'm not saying the mouse hole looking for thoughts, waiting for them to rise isn't helpful. Carol's talking about this approach of, she's saying, kind of resting back. And this is helpful when the mind is gathered. We're kind of resting back, and then we can sometimes sense the thoughts rising and catch them before they get full-blown. And sometimes that happens. And sometimes it takes need to steady the mind to do that. And we catch the thought where we catch the thought, and then we work with that. Anything else before we settle in? Any other questions? Because these are wonderful questions.